What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, as always, Cole Noble, a.k.a. Slaw, here live in studio on a nice Monday morning, live on WSOE 89.3, and live on YouTube as well at the Slaw Sports Show. And joining me again today will be Matt Laguza in studio. Matt, we're continuing on, but before we get to it, we do have to shout out the Masters this weekend.
Of course.
Watched it the whole weekend. Shout out Jon Rahm. The Spanish man getting it done, and also Sam Bennett as well, teeing off today at Texas A&M without a caddy.
Without a caddy, playing 36 holes after an amateur contending in the Masters. I mean, come on. You can't get any better than that. It's going to be a long few days for him.
Well, Matt, today we're continuing on with our prospect breakdowns. We hinted at it last week of what today's episode will be. Those live on YouTube will see it in the title, Tight Ends. One of the best tight end classes in NFL history to come through an NFL draft. And this is a great class. I'm excited to get into it and talk about some of these guys who are going to be impact starters, and some of which will be first-round picks for sure in this year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, there's great top-level talent as well as depth. You're not just going to get the top one or two guys that you usually get in this class and then find a gem or two later on. I mean, there is good consistency throughout. They're all very, very good and can make an impact immediately. So I'm excited to kind of get into this and discuss how each of them differ.
So before we get into today's into this draft class and talk about some of these prospects, we do have to talk about what was a pretty uneventful tight end free agency. And it makes sense because, you know, an all-time draft class coming into it, but really a bunch of one-year deals, nothing really major. The only non-one-year deals in this year's free agent class were Hayden Hurst, a three-year, $21.75 million deal from the Carolina Panthers, Josh Oliver, a three-year, $21 million deal to the Minnesota Vikings, Chris Menertz to the Denver Broncos on a two-year, $6 million deal, and Jordan Akins also on a two-year deal to Cleveland, Donald Parham on a two-year deal re-signing with the Chargers. Other than that, it's all one-year deals.
Yeah, there wasn't much going on with the tight end class, and you kind of hinted to it. I think it's because of this, the depth of this draft class. You don't have to waste a first-round pick on them if you don't want to. You are still going to get a quality and impact tight end in the second or third rounds. So why go spend money on a guy that, you know, you mentioned all those tight ends. None of them are top five tight ends in the league. Some of these guys have top five tight end potential. And why go and pay a guy for multiple years if you really don't know what their impact on your team is going to be? So go out there, take a little risk on a guy in the second or third round, and have him be your tight end instead of going to pay a guy named Josh Oliver $21 million over 3 years. I mean, some teams just do it. I mean, New York Giants, they went out and got their guy in Darren Waller to try to make an impact at that position because they needed it. These guys, they decided in free agency they were not going to be the answer. Let's go and get our guy in the draft. And I'm assuming that's what most of these teams are going to do.
Yeah, I mean, even the top guys that are out there in free agency. I mean, Dalton Schultz signed a one-year $6 million deal.
Yep.
Mike Gesicki signed a one-year $4.5 million deal in New England. You know, Rob Tonyan, Irv Smith, other guys that got, you know, one-year contracts. And there's still free agents out there. Mercedes Lewis, Dan Arnold, Cameron Brate, a lot of older guys. But, you know, even Anthony Firkser, Richard Rodgers, Foster Moreau is a big one, in my opinion, is still out there. But a lot of people right now are gearing up for this draft, and all these guys still out there on the market probably won't have a decent market value until after, you know, draft weekend when this new class gets into the fold and, you know, finally get on new deals. So let's start it off with the Notre Dame guy in Michael Mayer. Our first one on the agenda, it seems like the consensus top tight end that people have seen come into the league, really, in terms of an all-around full tight end, you know, the full package at tight end. You know, Kyle Pitts was the fourth overall pick just a couple years ago, but he was more of a receiving tight end. Michael Mayer fits all the check marks, checks every single box in terms of what you want as a tight end, what you want within your offense, an exciting prospect coming into the league who seems like a surefire. While some people have this, you know, ranking of tight ends iffy, Michael Mayer seems like the first round lock in this position group.
I think the top two are a lot closer than some people are willing to admit, but I personally think Michael Mayer is the number one in this class. I remember just the first time I ever watched him, scored two touchdowns over the middle of the field, running past defenders, made it look easy. Yeah. I mean, he's got great catch radius. He's a great route runner. He can get into blocks. I mean, he's not a bad blocker. He's going to be he's going to have plus potential at both of those aspects of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is a great player. He's not the athlete that Kyle Pitts is, but he has all of the technical ability, and I think he can be an impact. He'll make an impact right away as a starter on the team that he gets drafted to. He will be a first-round pick.
Yeah, and 6'4", 249, great size of the position, great physicality, surprising versatility. I mean, when you pull it up and you look at where he played throughout this season, really, as a marking point of recency for him and his game, Michael Mayer had 463 snaps in line. He had 202 snaps in the slot, 63 snaps out wide, 19 snaps in the backfield. Use them all around the formation, but primarily in line, which is where you want your tight end to be.
Yep.
And even in line, he was a willing blocker, and more so going to become a very trusted target. Very sure hands, and didn't have hardly any drops at Notre Dame. And on DJ's mock board, or top 50 mock board, 21st ranked prospect in this year's draft, according to Daniel Jeremiah. So a lot to like in the guy in terms of how they used him and what he was able to do and showcase at Notre Dame. Yeah.
And, I mean, we mentioned he's 6'4", 250. He ran a sub 4.5 40 at the combine. I mean, he is a fast man for his size. That's something that is very overlooked with him because you don't really see it. But as I mentioned, when I first watched him, running away from defenders, that's something that is huge at the tight end position, especially at that size. When you can combine speed and size, it is a deadly combo. And, I mean, he really is. He's one of the most productive tight ends in this class, and he is going to be a quarterback's best friend.
Yeah, and it's hard to really find a mock, pro comparison for him.
No, yeah.
Or a pro comp, excuse me, for Michael Mayer, because he seems like a guy who's coming into it, and it's hard to really find a comparison to what he can end up doing once he gets into the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, the one guy that I think of when I see it, it's not a perfect comparison, but maybe a Jason Witten kind of thing. He's an athletic, big tight end.
Witten's a little bigger, but...
He's a little bigger than Witten, but the style of play is, I think, very similar. If Witten was coming into the league now compared to when he came in, I think he would have played a very similar role to the role that Mayer's going to be playing come next season.
So Witten, 6'6", 263.
Yep.
It's a little taller, a little bigger than Michael Mayer, but still, that's pretty fair.
Yeah.
So we'll pull up now the film on Michael Mayer. And again, all these plays, just different formation usage out of Michael Mayer. We're going to start with the receiving work, and then in the back end show some of the pass blocking highlights, run blocking highlights as well, just to get the idea of the dual nature that he's going to bring to an offense within his game. So this first one, kind of in line, a little bit off the, past the line, but still, as a sixth offensive lineman here, runs out, nice little wheel route, contested catch, great play by Michael Mayer there. This one in the slot, on the left side, quick out route, easy play to a trusted target. I mean, he moved the chains right there. Here, moving around the formation, from pretty much the wing to the slot, wide open drag route over the middle of the field for a touchdown. And here we have him out wide. Lone receiver on the left side is Michael Mayer. And they go right to him. I mean, he pretty much ran a 6-back-to-5 there, and against a cornerback was wide open. And so a lot of these are easy completions. A trusted target, easy completion on third down, get the ball to your tight end. And then, here's some big plays over the middle for some touchdowns. So a lot of avenues to use him within the passing game, within your offense.
Yeah. And, I mean, we've seen over the past few years, there has been a hole at the quarterback position at Notre Dame. And to have a guy like Michael Mayer there to be able to make these kind of plays, make those safe throws, is huge for them and why they've had so much success in the passing game over the past few seasons. Without Michael Mayer, they would not have as many wins as they did because they would not be able to progress the ball up the field as easily as they have been. So NFL teams looking at this and scouting him and seeing what he can do in that area is very beneficial to him. And I think going into a system where he might most likely will have a much better scheme and quarterback, it is going to help him a lot and help him transition in the NFL a lot easier than some others.
Yeah. So now we're at some blocking highlights as well. So just, again, the dual nature of what he can do. Blocking in the run game, picking up, you know, defensive linemen, you know, trying to crash through and get a tackle in the backfield. So he blocks, you know, very willing blocker. He's strong, and, you know, you can see why with his frame that he's able to just clear out defenders like he did on this play here against Clemson, opening up a lane for his quarterback to get an easy touchdown. So a lot of dual nature with this guy. A lot to like about him, and it's easy to see why a lot of people are enamored with him. But in terms of who's going to draft him, I think he goes somewhere around the 20s, in my opinion.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm looking at teams like the Dallas Cowboys, potentially. Just who else could be involved there? The Chargers.
Chargers are definitely an option
potentially
there.
Buccaneers. A lot of teams within the 20s would really like Michael Mayer within their offense. What are some other teams that you could see, you know, as a potential fit?
I mean, I definitely agree with you. I think he is going to go in the 20s, but it's the NFL draft, so you never know. He could sneak into the top 20 if some team is thinking that he's worth it. I mean, you're Green Bay Packers. They may need a tight end. You don't know. So that's something. If they stay there or they decide to trade back a little bit, they're a team that could be interested in it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think they're going to have a very shaky quarterback situation. Get a guy like Michael Mayer in that team will be very beneficial. But then, obviously, as you mentioned, Cowboys, Chargers, even the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings are a very interesting one, considering they
just got Hawkinson.
Sorry, not Minnesota. Oh, yeah. Sorry, not Minnesota Vikings. Detroit Lions.
Oh, their second pick. Yes.
Sorry, that's what I meant, because they lost T.J. Hockenson to the Minnesota Vikings. I think that's someone where if they get exactly what they need with their first pick, and Michael Mayer is still on the board when their second pick comes up, might be something that they go in there, because, I mean, Jared Goff showed that he can be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but adding a piece like Michael Mayer in there to replace Hockenson might be what they need. So that's a team that I'm kind of looking at. I've mocked them drafting him a few times. Still not sure, but they're a team to watch out for Michael Mayer.
Yeah, so for me, I think, you know, what I had in the first two mocks was the Dallas Cowboys, and I think, you know, I don't think you're going to go into the season with Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot as your starting tight ends. They lost Dalton Schultz. They were willing to let him leave for a reason and not bring him back, considering he signed a reasonable deal in free agency with the Houston Texans. So I feel like they have a tight end on their agenda. And is it going to be Mayer? Or is it going to be Kincaid, who we'll talk about next?
I think it'll be one of them.
It's going to be Darnell Washington.
Yep.
I do think one of these tight ends will be going to the Dallas Cowboys, and it just depends on which one they like. But I feel like in terms of what Dalton Schultz did with that offense, potentially Michael Mayer will fit that best and replace him.
So if he's available at that pick, I completely agree with you. I think the Cowboys will go tight end. It just depends on who's available. And we've talked, there are a bunch of teams that are available.
Yeah.
Cowboys could be a team that if they really, really, really need that tight end, trade up two or three spots. Try to get ahead of the Chargers, try to get ahead of the Lions, or right next to the Lions. Because if you can get ahead of at least the Chargers, who are another team that are most likely going to draft a tight end, you at least get one of the top two guys. You're guaranteed one of the top two guys at that point. So it'll be interesting to see how much they want the tight end.
Yeah, and I mean, so you're talking about, you know, potentially Tampa Bay, Seattle trading back. I could probably see both of those teams. You know, they need picks, and both those teams, you know, Seattle especially, can trade back and get some more players to build around, you know, a playoff caliber team that's, you know, hopefully going to be primed for a deep run. And Tampa Bay, complete roster overhaul, also need more picks. Both those teams could trade back, potentially have the Cowboys move up a little bit on the board. So next up, Matt, we have Dalton Kincaid out of Utah. And this guy is another one who seems like to be the first-round guy. This is a guy who Daniel Jeremiah is absolutely in love with.
Yep.
When you look at his mock drafts, when you look at his, you know, updated top 50 board, number 9, top 10 prospect on Daniel Jeremiah's board. A comp comparison with him was Zach Ertz.
Yep, I agree.
Zach Ertz, 6'5", 250. Dalton Kincaid, 6'4", 246. Very similar, but this guy is the highly intriguing pass-catching skill set in this tight end group. A lot of pass-catching in Utah, route running, ball skills were all strong suits looking at his game. And the one thing I want to see for him is add just a tad bit mass to that frame, you know, being you know, just a couple pounds lighter than Michael Mayer. That will, you know, definitely help him improve in the run blocking department, but still a willing blocker with a good temperament. All the things that I like best out of Dalton Kincaid this year.
Yeah, I think Dalton Kincaid, if it's even possible, is the most underrated tight end in this class. I mean, he is, no question Michael Mayer is still my number one, but it is so close. It is so close. From the start of the period, Dalton Kincaid just keeps creeping in, coming for Michael Mayer in that spot. I mean, I have no problem with either of these guys being the first tight end off the board. He's an extreme athlete. He's got great route running. He's got good speed. And, I mean, he is a talented player. Watching him play with Cameron Rising in Utah over the past few years has been something special. Lot of productivity coming from him, a lot of balls coming his way, and he's exceeded expectations. He is a very, very good tight end, and I could see him starting before Michael Mayer does.
Yeah. So the one thing about Kincaid, though, however, didn't do the combine.
Nope.
He did not do Utah's pro day. Still dealing with a back injury.
Yep.
That might be a concern for some teams, but Daniel Jeremiah says that he checked out all the physicals, and he was fine going into the draft just a couple of days away. And what he said, I know you can say he's a little bit older. He had a back injury, which I'm told he passed all of his physicals. He's fine there. When you turn on the tape, there's not 10 players better than this dude in the draft. So, Daniel Jeremiah, let's pull up the tape.
All right.
Let's pull up Dalton Kincaid's tape, and let's see what we have out of Utah. So, his first game against the Florida Gators. Let's go back here. Rewind it back. In line here, so we'll pull this up first. The snap count of this year. Dalton Kincaid, 375 snaps in line, 257 in the slot, so about 50 more slot reps than Michael Mayer this year, 49 out wide, one snap in the backfield. So this first one here that we see from Kincaid, in line on the right side, and then we'll just let it play. So again, starting with some receiving work and then getting in to the blocking and the run game as well to see, you know, kind of nitpick that as well. So more inline stuff here from Kincaid, some drags over the middle of the field. A lot more route tree, similarities that we saw from Michael Mayer, but after the catch, Kincaid looks a lot more polished as an athlete. You know, a lot faster, getting down the field a lot quicker, making plays after the catch a lot more than Michael Mayer was, you know, comparison to the film we were just watching. And also some of these routes, he's very fluid. Gets in and out of his breaks very well while, you know, maybe Michael Mayer is a lot more clunky, you know, moving down the field and running his routes.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think the biggest differences between Dalton Kincaid and Michael Mayer is Dalton Kincaid is not as strong as a run blocker as Michael Mayer, and he run after the catch, two completely different players. I mean, if you want a guy that's going to be able to break tackles, get away, and really make something happen after you catch the ball, you got to go Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah.
I think Michael Mayer has the potential to be that guy, but he has not shown it at all over the past 3 years. So that's something that you kind of got to look at when you're going for a tight end. They've got very similar ability to catch the ball and route running. But, I mean, it all depends. Do you want a guy that can run after the catch, or do you want a guy that can block? And that's kind of going to be the difference between these two guys and what you want in your team.
Yeah. So now we'll go back over to the blocking reps from Kincaid. So picking up off of this next play to see what he can do. So in line. Sets the edge there for the quarterback to get out of the pocket and move out to the left side. And then some more here. So on the left side of the formation, again, in line on this next play. Number 86 right there. Moves across all the way to the right of the formation. Picks up a defensive back there and also boxes into another guy. Two for one special here on this play. Running back comes in right behind him. Big play, you know, close to a 20-yard play down the field. So there's still some of this in his game, but not as fluid and not as, you know, perfect of a blocking tight end as Michael Mayer is. A lot more of this, what we see around the league, of a receiving tight end And, you know, the team's looking for this, in my opinion, compared to Michael Mayer, and why I think he might get drafted ahead of Michael Mayer. It seems like the Packers, teams like the Chargers, they're looking for a difference maker within their passing game. And if the receiver's not there, there's a great receiving caliber tight end in Dalton Kincaid who could be available at those picks
for
those two teams.
I mean, Mayer and Washington are going to make two teams very happy. They're both, I think, guaranteed first-round picks. I think they're the only two guaranteed first-round picks of the tight end class. I think they're talented enough and have enough potential that teams, despite their flaws, they are going to be worth a first-round pick at some point. So I think you're going to see both of those guys get up. We're going to talk about a few more, and you could see one or two more into the first round, depending on when these two guys are selected. But if you're talking about guarantees for the first round, I don't think there's any chance any of these guys get out.
Yeah, for sure. So next up, Matt, we have the guy I'm most intrigued by.
Yep.
This guy is an absolute unit. A mountain of a human being coming in at the tight end position. My number one tight end on my board, personally.
Interesting.
Because
okay.
he is 6'7", 264 pounds, and one of the most physically imposing players in the entire class.
Yep.
Not just at the position, a mauler, even more so than some of the offensive linemen that we're going to be talking about later this week in this year's class. Darnell Washington out of Georgia is an absolute beast.
Yeah, I mean, let's just say I was hyping up Michael Mayer for running a sub-4.5 at his size. 6'7", 265, run a 4.6. I mean, that is impressive. He's an extreme athlete. He's got great, obviously great size. I mean, his run blocking can get a little better. He's not a great run blocker, but he obviously has the potential to become a great one. He's got great ability to adjust to off-target throws. I mean, he's extremely powerful. He's a decent route runner, great catch radius. I mean, this guy is special. And, I mean, the next 2 years, there are going to be two very special tight ends coming out of that Georgia program, Darnell Washington being the first one.
Yeah. And this guy, you know, you talked about the run blocking. That is something I really want to see improved. Because you would think of the size, that would be the strong suit. But he's so physically imposing that if you can, you know, hone that part of his game, he's going to open up incredible lanes in the NFL.
He reminds me very much of one of your favorite tight ends coming out of college.
Yes, the perfect comp for him.
Mercedes Lewis. I mean, 6'6". I don't remember his exact weight coming out of college. But I mean, he was not a great run blocker. He was a liability. Now, Darnell Washington is not a liability at the run block. He's a decent blocker, but, I mean, Mercedes Lewis is now, he's on the field because of his ability to block. Mm-hmm. That's what he's there for. So if you are able to just mold him and be able to improve his technique, I mean, this kid's going to be special.
Yeah.
So
I want to go back to it, what you're hinting at, which was this combine.
Yeah,
an incredible combine, a 9.88 RAS relative athletic score, near elite in every category except his vertical, which wasn't the best. But you know,
when you're that big, it's hard to get up.
But I mean, his shuttle was elite. Didn't do a 3-cone time at the combine, but 40-yard dash tested an elite. 20-yard split was elite. 10-yard split was elite. Height and weight, of course, were elite, and the broad jump. 10 foot, 9.14, elite grade as well there on the broad jump. And overall, dude, that is 9.88 is very incredible for an athletic score for a guy who, again, at his size, 6'7", 264.
Oh, yeah.
That was a tremendous combine by him. And I was glued to it the entire time of just the freak athletic nature that he was putting on display.
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player. And, I mean, we're going to watch the film in a little bit, but just watching him, he is something special. Now, it'll be interesting to see how he's used in the NFL, especially at the very beginning, just because with his size, you would traditionally see him off the line and being primarily a run blocker. But again, as we've talked about, not his strong suit at this point. So it'll be interesting to see how they use him. And I hinted this earlier, Brock Bowers, also in that Georgia team, Brock Bowers got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a freak athlete, and we're going to talk about him a lot next year. But see how he, depending on the team he goes to, how he's guarded and how it's different, because he did not get a lot of attention or as much attention as you might get in the NFL at his size. So it'll be interesting to see if he will be able to shake off some a little bit heavier defending in the NFL, because he did have some struggles with physical defenders.
Yeah. So the part I want to hone in on, and you say, you know, how's he going to be used initially once he gets into the league. So he projects as an inline tight end, you know, your traditional wide tight end. And the other thing, I think he's pretty outstanding in the red zone.
Yeah.
As a receiver and, honestly, a blocker. He's not great at opening up lanes in the running game like you talked about, but when you get in the red zone, he can drive a guy easily 2 yards.
Power and strength.
Easily, I mean, 2 yards back, where he has a lower body strength, where he can withhold a running back crashing into his back and using that momentum and his size to force the line forward in the red zone. And we'll, you know, see some of that once we get to the blocking film of him. But first we'll start out with the receiving film from Darnell Washington, and where he projects this as a receiver at the next level, which is a huge, huge target that he was able to provide in the passing game. But a lot of what they were able to do is very short drags, you know, dump offs pretty much to your tight end, where he wasn't the primary, the secondary, or, you know, the third receiver that Stetson Bennett was looking at in the offense. It was more of a dump down to him, which is exactly what Mercedes Lewis has pretty much been his entire career, which fits more in that, you know, pro comparison that we're going to see out of his game. But, you know, what we see after the catch, powering through defenders, stiff-arming defenders, even leaping over defenders that we'll be seeing here soon, but not the most polished route tree out of him in terms of passing attack-wise in the NFL that I'm expecting to see.
I was going to say, you know, if he does exactly what you just said, and that's all he does his entire career, still going to be a great tight end.
Yeah.
He's going to have a huge impact.
Longevity.
But he's got so much potential. You improve the run blocking. You expand the route tree. He is so athletic. If you can just unlock that and be able to make him a little more versatile, obviously he doesn't, I don't need to see him lining up out wide.
Yeah.
That I don't need to see. That Kyle Pitts can do that. Brock Bowers can do that. All those guys, they can do that. He doesn't need to do that. But if you can just expand his route tree a little bit, making him a little bit more of a threat past 5 to 10 yards in the passing game, he'll be a top five tight end in the NFL. He will be, like, that. It's simple as that.
Yeah.
So I think if you can just unlock the potential, he'll be special. If you don't, he'll be great. I mean, it's simple as that.
So now let's get to some run blocking highlights here as well from this Georgia. So this guy could be a sixth offensive lineman.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Which is what, again, Mercedes Lewis is. And the ones I like are these outside runs where he is going through and just running through corners, running through safeties, and actually using his size advantage out in open space, plowing through people and opening up outside lanes for running backs. But what he needs improvement on is actually working as a sixth offensive lineman in the middle against the bigger guys, where, you know, sometimes his height and his weight get the better of him. You know, he loses his footing a lot, loses you know, his balance and that kind of thing. Where
just technique.
Yeah,
I mean,
technique.
He just needs to improve the technique. If he can do that, I mean, that's part of the development once you get to the NFL. You get into training camp, they're supposed to, they've scouted you. They've drafted you, and they know they can deal with the mistakes or the flaws that you have. That's why they drafted you, especially if they draft you in the first round. Like, this guy is valuable. We can deal with what he has and his flaws, which means two things. One, they don't care, and he'll be valuable enough without being able to fix that. Or two, it's because they can fix it.
Yeah.
And if teams believe that they can fix his technique, which, I mean, 99% of NFL teams should be able to fix a person's blocking technique.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of big part of the game. I mean, that's what he's going to do all summer. He is going to work on that technique. They are going to coach him through it, whoever drafts him, and hopefully by the start of the season, he's a capable run blocker. I mean, that's what you've got to hope for, and that's what teams are going to be looking at. I mean, I think that's his main flaw, pretty much.
So for me, looking at his stock and potential landing spots in the NFL, he is my top Packers prospect. As a Packers fan, I really want Darnell Washington.
Moving on from wide receivers to tight ends now? Still
pass
catchers?
Still a pass catcher. But, I mean, Mercedes Lewis is a free agent. He's probably going to follow Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets. I wouldn't
big
be
dog.
Surprised. Yeah, rest in peace, big dog era in Green Bay. But they need to fill that hole. Mercedes Lewis was such an integral part of Matt LaFleur's system that he never got any credit for. And him leaving if they don't replace him, we'll see how impactful Mercedes Lewis actually was in that offense if they can't replace that.
Now, is this someone that just, this is just kind of like throwing it out there, is this someone that you want to draft at 15? Or is this someone that you want to trade into the end of the first round for?
Either way, I would be perfectly fine if they take him at 15.
Okay.
And I'd also be perfectly fine if a situation like last year happens, where they really like a guy in Christian Watson. They try to, you know, trade back into the back end of the first round, can't find any suitors. Early day two, they move up and they have one of the first picks in the second round and take their guy.
Yep.
I think that could happen with Darnell Washington. I think the Packers could, you know, if they pick up an extra second round pick from the Jets, I think they could try to put a package together to move up in the second round and get Darnell if he falls out of the first round.
And I think that's why, when I was talking earlier, that I think Dalton Kincaid and Michael Mayer are the only two guaranteed first round picks. I think Darnell Washington, right now, with his limited route tree, his size, what he does, he's a specialized prospect. And if you don't want to have so much focus that you unlock all that potential, add to his route tree, and make him that special player, is he worth that first round pick? And that's going to be the question. I think he's going to fall somewhere between 25 and 36, 37. He's going to be an early second round pick if he gets in there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the Packers, if they were to trade up, especially if this trade with the Jets goes through, they're going to have at least one second round pick added to their draft capital to be able to use to trade up if they need to. I think no matter what, they are going to trade up.
Yeah.
No matter what. Whether it's in the first round or early second round, they are going to trade up if he is available. And it'll just be interesting to see how much they give up to get him.
All right. Well, Matt, that's the three guys that we think are, well, two guys who are surefire first-round picks.
And one that definitely could.
One that definitely could. After that, it kind of falls off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, still talented again, players. This is one of the best tight end classes.
Yep.
Top to bottom, we've seen in the NFL. So when I say it falls off, these are still quality guys, but they're not going to be guys you spend top capital on.
We just haven't seen a draft class of tight ends with three top dogs.
Yeah.
Three top dogs in this class. So when you drop off, I mean, second-round talents? I mean, second, third-round talents, which is still insane.
Next up, we have another guy who Daniel Jeremiah is very high on.
Yep.
A lot of people that I've seen haven't been as much as Daniel Jeremiah is. But a guy who is still pretty exceptional as a tight end, has showcased a lot of great abilities, didn't have that much tape this year to look at, but we still have one game in particular where he had a pretty solid game, but it's going to be Luke Musgrave. And Luke Musgrave out of Oregon State.
Oregon State,
yeah. Oregon State is another one that we also have to consider. 6'6", 253, another big athletic option in the passing game to an offense, and another versatile weapon who has moved around the formation a lot at Oregon State, and again don't have the best avenues to look at this year because only played two games I believe this year, but still a very enticing red zone option who at good value could be a solid pickup for an NFL franchise in this year's draft.
I mean, I've got no problem with this guy. I think he's a great athlete. He ran a 4.6 at that size, still very good. 36 vertical jump, 10.5 broad jump. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, I comp him to Dallas Goedert. I think that's a very doable. I mean, he's a pretty good tight end in the NFL. He's got very similar thing. He's got good footwork. He's a great route runner. He's a good blocker and receiver. I mean, he's a second round guy in my opinion. I mean, I completely see why Daniel Jeremiah is so high on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely, you know, doesn't have as much film as some other people, and he's not as well known, but that should be no reason why teams shouldn't go after him early. I mean, especially if those first three guys go off the board in the first round, Musgrave could easily be a top 40 pick in this NFL draft. I see no reason why he couldn't be.
Yeah, and you talked about his 40 time. A lot of people don't want to talk about 40 times with offensive linemen, tight ends. They're gonna, why are they running? You know, when are they going to be in a situation where they're running 40 yards? Why is that
tight matter? End position is different these days.
Luke Musgrave, he is at his best when he's running down the seams, when he's being a vertical threat in the passing game, and at his size, I can also see why Daniel Jeremiah really, really likes this guy. And we'll pull up the tape of one of the best games that he has had, and easily the best game he had this year as well. And this game here, where a lot of some quick plays here, but speed after the catch and moving around the formation, and a lot of vertical up the field throws that you're not going to see from a lot of these other tight ends in this year's class.
No, I mean, he's different. He's just different than all the other tight ends. I mean, there's nothing to say about it. So if you're a team looking for a guy that can do that, he's your guy. I mean, he needs to add a little bit of strength to his game. I don't think he's a very strong player, if I remember correctly. But, I mean, besides that, I mean, in the passing game, he is going to be an absolute menace to a defense. Because when you're lining up against a tight end, you're not expecting to see a guy just bursting down the field running through the seams. That's just not what you expect.
Yeah.
And when you get out there and he's running past you, I mean, it's going to surprise a lot of people.
I mean, his first game this year against Fresno State, 5 receptions for 80 yards, 16-yard average. And then the game we just showed against Boise State, 6 receptions for 89 yards, 14.8 yards per reception, and the 1 touchdown with longs of 30 yards and 27 yards.
Yep.
You're not going to see that kind of downfield production from any other player in this year's class at this position.
Yeah, I mean, I think Musgrave has starter potential in the NFL. But I think what he's going to do best, he's going to thrive in a 2-tight-end system. I think that's the best thing because, I mean, we mentioned he can do everything that a tight end can do, but he thrives in down that seam. You need a guy that's going to be kind of off the line, be able to block, be able to do those drag routes, stuff like that. And if you can have 2 tight ends out there with them doing the typical tight end and him being able to be free and do what he does best, that's what he's going to do. Now, he can develop and become that white 1 tight end system guy, but at least to start his career, I think it would be best if he's in a 2 tight end system.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's never had a 100-yard game in his career.
Nope.
Even going back to 2021, he's had, you know, his best game was against Oregon, you know, the first game of the, or second game of the season. Actually, first game of the regular season where he had 85 yards. Had some, like I talked about, had some 80-yard games, a couple of them this year. But last year, as a season average in 2021, excuse me, a season average of 13.7 yards per reception. He's not going to be your 100-yard receiving option as a tight end, but he's going to make some big plays.
Chunk plays.
Big chunk plays whenever you do call on his number, which, again, I don't think it's going to be all the time, but you talked about the comp for Luke Musgrave as Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
The Eagles don't really call on Dallas Goedert that much
in
the passing game. But when they do, he's making pretty sizable plays.
I was going to say, I think Luke Musgrave fits the systems of the old Eagles when they had Goddard and Ertz, when they were running them together. I think that's a very similar system that he's going to thrive in, and he's going to play that Dallas Goedert role. He could play in a system like the New York Jets where they've got Conklin and Uzama. Mm-hmm. When they're playing together, they've got very 2 distinct roles, and they do their roles well when they're on the field. You're just going to have to play him in the 12 personnel packages. That's what it's going to be. And, I mean, again, he'll develop 1 year, but at least at the beginning, that's where he's going to thrive best, and that's where teams are going to draft him highly.
So prior to another, you know, free agency trade at a tight end position that we saw was Hunter Long being included in that Jalen Ramsey. Prior to that, I really liked Musgrave being a potential LA Ram. And being in a 2 tight end set with Tyler Higbee.
Yep.
And doing, you know, exploring more with that offense and what you can do with it. And Sean McVay is just a mastermind. He can utilize all those weapons in that passing game very well. They got Hunter Long in there now. So maybe not completely rolled out, but definitely not as big of a fit as I really liked.
Yep.
You know, going back, you know, a couple of weeks ago. But this past year, 80 snaps in line in 2 games. 28 in the slot, 6 out wide.
Yeah.
So he still plays in line, but still does a lot of work as a receiving tight end as well in terms of what he can do. Faced a lot of physical coverage, did at times struggle to create some separation with his routes, but overall, I think he's an enticing guy, just with his speed and size alone and what you can do in the passing game.
Yeah, I mean, I can keep saying this. He's different.
Yeah.
He's just different than the other tight ends, and that's what's going to make him stand out. And I think the 3 guys that we're talking about, Musgrave and the 2 other after this, they're all going to be drafted in around the same area, second, third round. I think that's pretty much where these 3 guys are going to be drafted. And in order for Musgrave to be the first off the board, it's going to be because he's different. I mean, that's it. The other 2 guys are very similar type players. They're going to be more traditional tight ends. And Luke Musgrave now has the advantage where if a team that already has their traditional tight end but is looking to add something else to their offense, Luke Musgrave is going to be the first name that comes up. So, interesting to see. I think he's a second-round talent, maybe or early third, depending on how teams are feeling. But he's a special player, and he's going to make an impact at the NFL level.
So the next one on our agenda, Matt, that I have is the Old Dominion guy, Zach Kuntz, who had an absolute showcase as well at the Combine. 6'7", 255, was another physically imposing guy where he was standing next to Darnell Washington, and they were just straight towering over every other prospect in attendance in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. A long, well-built wide tight end, who has outstanding size and showed off at the Combine. We're going to pull it up here. What do you mean, showed off? How about a perfect 10 relative athletic score at the Combine? Vertical, off the charts. Broad jump, off the charts. Shuttle, 3-cone, 40.
4.55.
Name it. The bench as well. All elite scores that he showcased at the Combine. And an athletic guy, a lot of teams really got him on their agenda during the Combine just a couple weeks ago.
There's no question that Zach Kuntz is a great athlete. Now the question every NFL team is going to be asking, is he going to be productive on the field? That's going to be the thing. Great athlete? Cool. You are now going to be a guaranteed backup at the NFL level, maybe a special teamer. But can you make the plays on the field? That's going to be the question. And, I mean, personally, I think he can. I mean, we can keep going. Like, he was a former high jump and hurdles champ in high school. I mean, he is elite athlete. He's got great wingspan. He's able to create some separation down the seam. And, I mean, he's extremely long. He's explosive. I mean, he's a good player, and he's going to, if he goes to the right system with a team that can develop him properly, he can make an impact.
Yeah.
No question.
And compare him to the other 6'7 guy we just talked about in Darnell Washington. He is more of the mismatch nightmare.
Yes.
That you do not want to see guarding downfield in the passing game.
Yep.
Because he runs good routes.
This is what you want to see. Like, this is not at this level.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of player that you want to see Darnell Washington be in 2-3 years' time. He's not going to have the same athletic ability, but if he can play the same kind of game as Kuntz by the end of this.
Yeah.
Huge.
Another guy who, I mean, Kuntz in comparison, runs great routes.
Yep.
He's very instinctful. He understands where he's at in the field, understands where to find the soft spots and zone coverages and make himself available. Run after the catch can get some work, but he's a contested catch guy. I mean, with this frame, how could he not be? 6'7", 255 again. Saw snaps at Y, F, in the slot, out wide. I mean, we'll pull up the official stats. 317 snaps in the slot, 288 snaps in line, 44 snaps out wide, and 14 snaps in the backfield. Very versatile tight end.
Yep.
And then we'll pull up the highlights here. Some Old Dominion tape here on the show of Zach Kuntz as well. So again, just some of these mismatches that he's able to do. And sitting very well in soft zone coverages, sits right in the hole every time, makes himself available to his quarterback. I like him a lot in terms of what he can offer to a passing game.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a very underrated talent. And I think he's going to be drafted in third or fourth round. I think that's probably where I'm thinking he's going to go. I think a lot of teams after the first three guys are going to kind of stay off the tight ends. I do think Kuntz and Sam LaPorta, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, are going to be second round guys. But Zach Kuntz, he's going to kind of fall off a little bit, and some team is going to get an extreme value pick in the third or fourth round. Just he made only 15 starts during his entire college career. I just think he's a very high potential player.
Yeah, high ceiling.
High potential, low floor.
Yep.
And I think teams are going to be a little concerned about that. But if he drops into that third, fourth round, they're going to be much more willing to pull the trigger on it and go and get him. And I don't think he's going to be a starter in the NFL the first year. I think, as I mentioned, he's going to be a backup, special team kind of player, and eventually develop maybe later in the season or into next season into a guy that actually makes an impact on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, I definitely see him being a potential type of player where you double dip.
Yep.
You know, maybe you draft one of these tight ends we talked about before early in the draft, and then you wait a round or two and come back and he's still on the board, so you say, hey, why not take him? Yeah. He's got the potential. Or maybe you have a good tight end already on the roster. I would still want to take him if he's on the board once you get into the third or fourth round.
I don't know. The Lions just seem like such a good pick. If they get Michael Mayer for sure. in the first round and then they go and get Kuntz in the third or fourth round, that just seems like such a difference maker in their offense, just with the inconsistency that they have there, to be able to have that kind of 12 personnel package that they can run out there with a big guy and Darnell Washington, or Zach Kuntz, and then the athletic Michael Mayer. I mean, that'd be something special.
So next up, now we're going to, you know, we're out of the film study.
Yep.
Out of the film room, but we're still going to hit on some of these other guys who are great as well. And I know you want to talk about him. You've hinted at him a couple times here now. The 6'3 guy out of Iowa and Sam Laporta. What do you like best out of his game? Because it's another guy who, Daniel Jeremiah had in his top 50 big board as well. So a top 50 prospect. What do you like out of Sam Laporta?
I think he is extremely underrated. I mean, he has been a highly productive tight end in Iowa over the past few years. Ran a sub-4.6 40. I mean, he's extremely versatile. He's played in multiple different spots on the field. High-volume target. I mean, great footwork. He's a great route runner. I mean, he is an overall consistent player. That's what he is. And he has remained consistent in Iowa through his entire career there. And, you know, don't get me wrong, not a first-round talent. Probably a mid-to-late second-round pick. In my opinion, maybe sneaks in the low early third round, but I mean, you're going to get a value pick out of him. He's a leader. He's going to be able to go onto a team and just make a difference. I think he's got the ability to be a starter at some point in his career, but if he's not, he's a very capable backup, and he is going to be a guy that is going to make a team very happy at some point in the next year or two.
And, you know, coming from pretty much the tight end you. And it's very rare you see a tight end lead his team in receiving yards. You know, what does that say about the wide receivers? What does it say about the offense? But out of Iowa, they have a good track record.
Yep.
George Kittle, T.J. Hawkinson. Let's see. There's Noah Fant as well out of Iowa. Am I missing anybody else? I know those are the three big ones that have come out of Iowa. But they've brought in, come out with some very great quality tight ends in the NFL draft, coming out of that offense and out of that system where they're breeding these guys in Iowa. That's big boy territory in the United States, and just building some absolute big guys in at the tight end position who are becoming stud playmakers at the NFL level. And Sam Laporta might join that list as another Iowa Hawkeye alum.
Yeah, and I think there's no question. I think some people have him as a top five tight end in this class. So it's kind of very perception based. What do you think? How do you feel about him? But I think he's going to be a big impact player, and he's very underrated. So you're just going to get a value pick in the late end of second round, early third round.
So now let's talk about a FCS player, Tucker Kraft, out of San Diego State, or excuse me, South Dakota State is another one. I always get the SDSUs mixed up. South Dakota State, top tier physical athlete. Similar to another fellow Jackrabbit who we talked about earlier in a comparison, Dallas Goedert.
Yep.
I think Tucker Kraft ran that same system as Dallas Goedert in South Dakota State at that same level, or same system, same scheme, very well, just like Goedert did. 6'5", 255, another excellent athlete for his size, speed, fluidity. Short area quickness, to me, is what stands out from Tucker Kraft compared to these other guys in this year's class.
I mean, can we talk about how he broke 25 tackles over the past two seasons on 102 catches? I mean, the guy is an after-the-catch machine. So, I mean, he's a special player, another guy that is very underrated. I mean, when I complete my big board, he's going to be in the top 100 prospects. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, he's a special player, big boy, 254. Extremely athletic, and he's going to be a guy that you can trust with the ball in his hands. They're going to throw him some drag routes, you're going to throw him some little out routes on the outside, and he's going to be able to get 5 to 10 yards after the catch most of the time. So, love to see him get drafted. I mean, I think he's probably going to be a second round pick over Kuntz at the end of the day. I think he just offers more out the gate than Kuntz does. So, if I'm thinking, I mean, what we've talked about so far, Musgrave, Kraft, Laporta as second round guys, Kuntz as a more of a third round guy. But yeah, I mean, special player and very underrated.
I mean, and again, another guy who's very versatile as well.
Yep.
Snaps in line, snaps in the slot, snaps out wide. Very, very recently, we're seeing all these tight ends play all over the formation.
Yeah.
And they're
different game.
It's a different game. They're getting more and more in line of this new passing attack NFL. We didn't see it as much as past year.
And
a
they're
lot
staying
more
the
running.
Same size. They're still big boys. They're
huge
getting
guys
out there.
Being used all over the field as well. One more I do want to hit on, and you know, if you have another one you want to throw out, you can as well. But Luke Schoonmaker out of Michigan, another one, 6'6", 250, insane size. But he's your specialty blocker as a tight end. He's going to go into your run-first offense and be the blocker, willing and effective in the run game. He uses his hands extremely well and has great play strength, turning defenders at times, sealing the edges, pancake-blocking people. Schoonmaker did a lot of work for Blake Crum and that Michigan rushing attack this year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. Another guy that's probably a third-to-fifth-round talent. You're going to get what you want out of him. You're drafting him because of his blocking ability, but he's also going to be able to do something special. I mean, in 2022, 35 catches, 418, and 3 touchdowns. I mean, he's still able to be productive on the offensive side of the football and be able to be in the passing game if you want to. I mean, the only other two guys that, you know, kind of shout out there, Davis Allen out of Clemson and Josh Wiley out of Cincinnati. I think those are really the only two other guys that I, as of right now, see as top four round potential players in this draft. But yeah, I mean, some interesting players, but I think there is a drop off between Schoonmaker and then those two guys. I think Schoonmaker's a guaranteed late third round, early fourth round. Those guys, I could see them dropping into the sixth round potentially.
Well, all right, Matt, I think that pretty much puts a end and close the book on this tight end group.
Yeah.
One of the best tight end classes we have seen come into the NFL draft in some time, potentially ever.
Yeah.
Might be one of the best ever that we are going to see coming into the league this year. So next up, we're going to talk about the big guys. Later this week on Friday, the offensive linemen. We have two surefire top, you know, 15, you know, maybe could, you know, top 10, potentially top 12 easily. Tackles in this year's class. We have other guys who are going to sneak into the teens, sneak in into the back end of the first round as well. So
there's a lot of top end talent. There's
a lot of good.
I feel like the top end guys are being a little overhyped, but the top, like, there's a lot of depth at the top part of this draft for a lot of capable offensive linemen in this draft.
Yeah, and it's a position group where I wasn't excited about going into it, but the more I've looked into it, I've realized how deep it actually is.
A lot of underrated players at the back end of the first round, early second round.
Still first round caliber guys, but they are now floating and rising into this first round. When you see, you know, every time you see a mock draft, it seems like there's another
offensive
lineman.
There's a new one there.
Another one sneaking in.
You're like, add them to the list.
Add them to the list. So that's all we have for today's show on the tight end group. So if you missed any part of today's episode, we will be having it on the channel throughout the week. You know, each video broken down for each prospect we're going to try to have for these guys we talked about today. So you get more in-depth analysis on a one prospect in particular on a short format to watch it easily between, you know, this tight end class that we posted on the channel at the Slaw Sports Show on YouTube. So if you listen to any part of today's episode, like and subscribe. Thank you for checking out the content. Thank you for tuning in as always and getting closer and closer to the start of the NFL draft.